back to back to Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. Now, we were just sitting here casually talking about, you know, the condition of America. You hear, as I listen, different pairs talking and what's going on. And a lot of that I've thought about this week as I looked at this lesson. You know, we were doing a word study in Proverbs. And one time, one word study, we did the heart. And I told you we'd be back to this some, and we're coming back to it today. The problem in our own lives, in our churches, and in America is our heart. And we want to look at the heart today as the seat of affections, the will of the mind. And that's something that we don't think about much. But if you've looked at the mind, heart, and will, I did a lesson one time a long time ago about those subjects and stayed on for quite a while, looking at the mind, the heart, and the will. What goes into a man's mind should affect his heart, and it does. And then it should move his will. And we're going to look at the heart. And I want us just to look at what we covered here a few weeks ago and look at chapter 2 and verse 2. And we talked about the heart and inclining the heart. And let's look at this. Or the ear, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now I want you to watch how these things go and the problems. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and he starts it out in chapter 1 of telling you how do you get wisdom, in chapter 2 how you get it, why he wrote the book in chapter 1, and then we go through and look at, let's look at another verse here, 2:10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. You see, the words and things go into our minds, and their decision most times made in the heart. And we know that we can't have a heart, a fleshly heart. God has to change our heart. We have to have a new heart. And that heart has to be directed by the Spirit of God to ever make good decisions. All right, now let's look at 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. See, a lot of people are doing things, and you've heard this old saying, they're not doing it from the heart. But they may be doing it from a fleshly heart. But he says, let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, these will make more sense as we go on in the lesson. But in 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now, we talked about those two things, those two words. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with my drainage here. It said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth, the two twins. You find them in the scriptures together all the time. Probably not every word, but mercy and truth go together. Sometimes we can have truth with no mercy. And a lot of people want mercy with no truth. And that's prevalent. Said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, look at 4:4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. You know, we push memorization of Scripture. And a lot of times that's just in the mind, isn't it? But do you ever have a verse just grab your heart? Huh? When that verse grabs your heart, it'll do something to your will. But just to have it up here in your mind, it's not good enough. All right? It says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. All right? Look at 4:21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's his words. We're to keep them in the midst of our heart. And you know what he said he'd do with it? In another verse in Proverbs, he said he'd fit it to your lips. Amen. You keep it in the midst of your heart, and he'll fit it to your lips. So you know how to use it. Given to understanding. All right? Now look at 6:21. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. This is his words. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, they have to, you see the struggle with the heart of man? You see what the word of God does in washing? By the washing of water, by the word. It's a cleansing power. It's a washing power. It's a preparing power. The word of God. Look at 7:3. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. It amazes me, the instruction of the Word of God in Proverbs. When we studied the word and words and the heart and how they're just combined together. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding, it comes from God, and it has shined in our hearts. Now keep this scripture in mind as we move on. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 11. Sorry about that hacking. I'm just can't help it this morning. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then when you go back to 2 Corinthians 4:6, you see that it has shined in our hearts to reveal the knowledge of God, that we might know him. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. As I've studied this week, I see that I need to do things from the heart. Teaching this class needs to be done from the heart. Not from what I know is nothing. But hopefully God can take something that's said and do something with it. And that's what we're looking for. Now look at 2 Corinthians 3:14. I hope you're following these and they're falling in line for you. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil. Sorry, 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:14, yeah. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we look into this mirror of God's Word, we're changed to that image. The Word of God has to get in that heart and do some work. Not just the fact of reading it and cracking up enough scriptures to get through it, but letting it speak to our hearts. A prayer that says, God, show me, not Rick, not show me something Rick needs. No, show me something I need. Okay? So we're seeing in 2 Corinthians 4:6, a mind and a heart that gets the knowledge from God by the light of God. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 11, a personality that receives knowledge and uses knowledge. And it's the knowledge of God. That's wisdom. 2 Corinthians 3:14, all right, that we're at right now. Is blinded, not blindfolded. A man that has been blindfolded can remove his blindfold and he can see. A man that's been blinded, he can't see nothing until God opens that heart. As I thought of some of these scriptures this week, don't misunderstand me and take things wrong, but as I look in the paper and Or look at current events and see what's going on in America today, it amazes me at the blinded hearts and blinded eyes. As I read, now I love animals, as I've told you before, and we'll be looking at Romans 1 in a little bit. I love animals. I love an old dog, old coon hound. I grew up with them. But when I read this thing about these geese, and all these people so concerned about the slaughter of them. Now, I'm not justifying what was done by no means, nor saying that. But you know what entered my mind? Abortion. Why don't somebody get all upset? You know what I thought I should do? I thought to myself, well, I should write an article to sound off and say, well, let's do it this way. Let's don't remove them from the water. Let's put them in the water and let's just pickle them. Let's just insert something in the water that will pickle them. Or better than that, let's just pull them over to the edge. Don't take them out of the water and just suck their brains out. Now, see how much sense that makes?
Yeah.
It takes somebody with a blind eyes and heart that's blinded by the scriptures. Like I said, I'm not just finding the situation what was done. I could care less about the situation that's done. It's just the minds of the people. Back several years ago, this woman, and I watch things like this. When you tell, I'm not a smart man, but I do have a good memory. When you tell me something 25 years ago, I'll remember it. And that's just, as the old flares, I probably got dyslexia when you look at me sometimes when I'm off in another world. Well, I don't forget those things. Someone wrote in the paper, a woman, back years ago, and she was so perturbed about somebody taking some cats, putting them in a bag and throwing them in the river. Now, man, that was awful. Then the next couple of weeks, the same woman wrote an article justifying abortion. Now, come on. Where's your mind's at? That's a blinded mind, a blinded heart. A mind that's trying to think but don't have the wisdom of God. That's what that is. And I thought of all the ways we could kill them geese. And the same way they're killing babies. I said, why don't I just write that in the paper and say, let's just do that. Let's just put some pills in the water. Then when they swim in it, it'll kill them. That's just. We won't have to hit them with a stick then. Our thinking is messed up. Like I said, I'm not justifying it. We'll look at this in Romans 1 in just a little bit. But it's the capacity of the mind to receive truth. God has blinded minds and hearts. And there's just one thing that I found in Scripture, and I searched it this week looking best I could. There's just one thing that'll pull the shades up a little bit and let the light in. That's the gospel. It'll do it. It'll let a little light come in.
Yes.
And penetrate the heart. Change man's thinking a little bit. I got off on that rabbit trail there. But 2 Corinthians 9:7. I want you to look at that. But you see, what I was saying, how much, that was stupid what I said there, how to kill those geese. But it's the thinking of, why don't they take them babies and take them out and transfer them somewhere else if they don't want them? Right. 2 Corinthians 9:7. But I would be the fool. People listening to what I'm saying today, look at that foolish man. Okay? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. The seat of the wheel. You see that? When a man, watch this. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. God don't want to tax you or me. God wants it to come from the heart. And he wants that heart to be moved toward him. As I looked at one of the scriptures this week, I saw where, what judgment took place at Calvary. God judged his own son. When he judged his son, he judged Satan. He judged his son for Satan. I guess that's how Jesus could look at Adam and David and say friend. At Judas and say friend. But he judged his son. He judged Satan. And when he judged his son, he judged sin. And when he judged his son, he judged the sin nature. That sin nature should be taken care of a little better than it is. I understand we still got it. And you know, Satan's still prince and power of the air, but he's not going to be. He judged sin at Calvary, but people still sin. And he judged the sin nature. But we're not going to be totally relieved of that sin nature until adoption. You remember the word adoption and how we studied the word adoption and how we misinterpret that word adoption? We look at adoption as going down here at the and taking a child and adopting it and making it yours. Adoption, Romans chapter 8, look at it yourself, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, a son was a son in the Old Testament. adoption, a man took his son and son placed him. He was still his son. But he, when he took him into the marketplace and into the gates of the city, and he said, "This is my son. He'll do my business." He was adopted. That's adoption. See, but we like to look at it like God come down here and just adopted every one of us. No, we're born again. Amen. We're born into the family of God and we're children of God. And we yet to see our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Then this old heart will be taken care of. But the only way to take care of it now is to just wash it and polish it with the Word of God and the wisdom of the Word of God to where it affects our will. That we can live for Him. I'm a hateful person. Do you pray about the condition of your heart? Sometimes I'm sick of myself, man, when I get to looking at how I reacted to a situation. I've walked away when before from saying something or doing something to where I was just like a dish rag. Because the Holy Spirit was saying, "That's not me. I had nothing to do with that boy." That's where the Word of God takes effect in our life to give us wisdom. Proverbs is about wisdom, about the Word of God. What I say sometimes, I say it. But what did God say? Let's look at Romans 10, the seed of the wheel. All right, you understand what I'm saying there about the seed of the wheel? That's the heart. The seed of affection. Now look at Romans 10. And we're all familiar with this scripture. But you don't have to take my word for this. You can look right straight in the Word of God. A lot of people make decisions with the mind. God wants a decision made from the heart, and the mouth reflects the will. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. As I've said many times, there's so little I know about salvation. All I know is it happened. Yeah. It's a mystery, folks. But still yet, let's look at the scriptures. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart. You see how it's the heart, then the mouth? Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from the down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a simple thing to do. A child can do it. As Melvin was saying about our grandson that got saved last week. Come home and told his daddy he wanted to be saved, Mom. And from what I hear, he just got down and said the words he wanted to say and asked Jesus to come in his heart. Then he called me. And he said, "Papa, we can all go to heaven now." That's a childlike faith that comes from the heart. And I like to get on a soapbox every once in a while, you know. But I watch some of our young kids do that now in our churches for years. Like I told you, don't tell me something, then tell me something different 25 years from now. But I've watched our children get saved and watch us rejoice. Then they got saved again when they was in their 30s, and we rejoiced again. Who lied, them or God, first time? I guarantee if you ask that child, did you mean it? Oh, yes, sir, I meant it. You didn't lie. When you asked God to save you then, did you mean it from your heart? Well, yes, sir, I did. Well, did God lie? Oh, no, God wouldn't lie. For the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You got to continue. If you want confidence of your salvation, where's it going to come from? The Word of God. I used to ask this question. If you stood before God and He said, why should I let you in? What would you say? What are they going to say? Took me about 30 years to figure out what I would say. I'd say, because you said it in your Word. That's all I could say. Or I could say, well, there was a time.
Yeah.
Or this feeling. But it's a heart that God has to touch. And it's a heart that moves toward God. God designed man to fellowship with Him. Heart to heart fellowship. Not eye to eye or mind to mind, but heart to heart. And the only way we can do that is through God's Word.
The big furnace, okay? And when the king told him for it, he says, push the furnace right up. He says, what they basically said was, God said it, so whether he saves me or not, I still believe God said it.
Yeah. That's it.
God said he's going to save me, whether he does or not is beside the point.
Amen.
That's the way it is with us, too. You know? We get to heaven, whether God saves or not is beside the point.
Amen.
He promised us, and we're living on that.
And see it. They were known God's promises.
What happened in that case?
God was in the prior word of the Savior. I've told you several times in this class, but things over the years touch me is people's mental capacity to respond. And when they respond from the heart, and God responds through their heart. As I told you, you know H.E. Hodges, but when the preacher, Brother Gary, asked me to talk to him, he'd always raise his hand during the invitation to be saved. But I asked him, I said, how do you know? He says, you know, Jesus is the only hope I've got. What else do you need? Is that not that simple? I believe in Him. He's the only hope I got. That comes from the heart. I satisfy that, which I don't have to be satisfied, nor do you. If we're waiting to satisfy me, you're going to have a problem. Because I probably wouldn't be satisfied in any of you. And you wouldn't be satisfied in me if you knew what I thought most of the time. Okay? Let's look at Romans 1:21. I tell you, there's just one thing. I know I haven't put this together that good, but if you go back to remember what verses we read before, how the light of the gospel and the face of Jesus Christ has shined into our hearts. As I said, you got a dark room in here. You can open that up right there. And you get that light just shining through. And that's the way the gospel does to penetrate that heart. But it takes God. Not in my intellect or your intellect. But Romans 1, you can see in Romans 1 the condition of what we're in America today. As I was getting that example a while ago. in Romans 1:21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They knew God. You see that? Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They had an intellectual knowledge of God. But Paul had, how did he say? That I may know him. He knew him intellectually. But he wanted to know him from his heart. That heart-to-heart relationship that he could have. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. He gave them up, and he gave them over. We're looking at a nation that's getting give over and give up to vile affections. And what caused it? A heart problem and the truth. How they handle the truth. How this church handles the truth is very important to what goes on and around us. How we handle the truth. They change the truth into a lie. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now here is the product of it, the sins of it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful. The atheists have made a big push, haven't they, with their billboards, taking Christ out of Christmas. Well, Christ hadn't been in Christmas, but still yet. It's the fact that bothers me. They think they're doing something. See, but they become fools and change the truth into a lie. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. You see where understanding comes? Wisdom is not knowing the facts. Wisdom's having understanding. You can know all the facts. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. What I talked about a while ago is not natural affection. When you can write one article about how it's okay to kill unborn babies, then write one that we shouldn't be the catastrophe of killing a bunch of geese. That's not natural affection. We're adopting more dogs in America than we are children. Check me out. I mean, I'm not trying to be hateful, guys. I'm not. I just end up that way. I'm not trying to be that way. But that's what we're doing in America. What's causing that? We've shut the book down. Okay, backsliders, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. What covenants did they make? You made a covenant with your wife. And you know what? You made a covenant with her when you entered into sexual relationship with her. You realize that? Read your Bible what marriage is in the Bible. And I'm not picking or pushing or gouging. I'm just telling you. We'll worry about how many wives a man's got, not realizing how many we got. I say we, but how many people had sex with people before then? That's a covenant with a person. You entered into that covenant. Amen. Yeah. I'm getting some calf gates there. I'm telling you the truth. Before we judge somebody else, let's look into our own lives. All right? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unplaceable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If God would judge his son for those three things I said before, if he had judged his son for Satan because of Satan, if he had judged his son because of sin, and if he had judged his son because of the sinful nature, don't think that he won't judge the lost. Because they did not accept that judgment. I don't know what time it is. I mean, if there's any bells rung, I don't hear them. Okay. Second Corinthians 3:14, then we're going to turn to Ephesians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Okay, and then look at Ephesians 4:18. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. He's telling these Christians, don't walk like darkened people. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, empty minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, that's what proceeds out of the heart of man. Jesus said it did. Jesus said that's what proceeded out of the heart of man. And he's saying put those things away. Don't walk like other people. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, there's mercy and truth. A lot of people want the mercy without the truth. See, that's when you're trusting your heart. Well, I believe in my heart, they're okay. Don't matter what you believe in your heart. That's when you're having mercy without truth. But you can also have truth without mercy. Just because you've got the truth and you bluntly put it out there, I don't mean it's working. And be ye kind one to another. Who is he just writing about? Them Gentiles that walk in the vanity of their mind. Can you be kind to them? What did it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Charity suffereth long and is kind. And I've heard my brother make this statement. I believe we was up there in that campground, Rick. That's been, what, 25 years ago? He said, how long can you suffer and still be kind? How long can people put pressure on you and you still be kind to them? That's what Jesus said. I'm going to read this and we'll go. Psalms 22. When Jesus was squeezed, what come out of him? Psalms 22:2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, am not silent. Look what he's going through. But what does he say? But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. When you squeezed him, what come out? Praise. And we're to be like him. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another for Christ's sake. As Preacher, I think this was our preacher brought that out a few weeks ago. We're to praise God in all things, not for all things, but in all things. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for your word. Pray, God, that you'll bless in the next hour. The people's minds will be the entrance to their heart. The light of the glorious gospel can shine in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.